We are holding on Nun Aleph from an Aleph in the middle of the Yom, by the two dots. We learned in the Mishnah, you have the various Chatzaris HaPnimiyos, you have the ones of Yom Kippur, you have the ones that the other ones where the blood is brought into the Heichol, the power of the Kohen Gadol, the power of Halam Shel Tzibur, and the Seir Avodah Zarah. All those five, we said Shiri Adam Kola, all the two of Yom Kippur and the three of other times, we said that the leftovers of the blood are poured on the western side of the Yisod. And we said Imoy Nosam La'ikev, if you didn't, then it's not math.
Why the western side?
That's what we're going to do. So first of all, my timer, so why is it Davka on the west side? The reason is Omakro, because the Pasuk says, because the Pasuk says that after he's done with these Karbanos, he should pour them on the Yisoid of the Mizbeach Ha'ola, which is in front of Oyo Moy.
It's an L-shape.
No, first of all, the one in the Mishkan wasn't necessarily L-shaped, but that's not the point. The point is, so we have the gears that we have in front of us says Ahud Poga Bereisha, meaning it has to be the one that he encounters first. Since you have, as soon as he walks out of the Heichol, he's facing directly the Mizbeach. We actually have, in the next paragraph we're going to deal with, we have a multi-way machlokes where exactly in the Azara the Mizbeach is situated, but basically the idea is as soon as you go out of the Heichol, you have some part of the Mizbeach in front of you, and it's the western side. It's the western wall, the western side, the western wall of the Mizbeach faces the eastern side of the Heichol, faces the eastern end of the Heichol, which is where the door is. So that's the first one, that's the first one that you encounter, and therefore that's the one you should be pouring. Rashi actually takes out, and following that, Shitim HaKobetha takes out the word Ahud Paga Bereisha. The point is not so much that he encounters that one first. The point is the very fact itself that it says Asher Pesach Oyel Moed implies that it is the one that's directly in front of the door, which would be the western side. In other words, putting in Ahud Paga Bereisha would imply that, okay, it could be that it's just the Mizbeah, it's just letting us know where the Mizbeah is. Practically speaking, though, it should be because of Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvah, because you shouldn't overlook an opportunity, you shouldn't pass by the first opportunity to do a mitzvah, therefore you should do it on the western side. So Rashi is not good at that, and Tosfos, in fact, discusses that the point is, we're not saying it's because of Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvah. Because Tosfos says, Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvah is when you have two different mitzvahs that you could be doing, and you have a choice which one to do first, then you choose on the basis of Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvah. But not over here. When we're saying that you want to make the permanent spot where should be pouring the shirayim of these korbanos should be based on the idea of Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvah, that not. Tosfos also actually discusses this in other places. So that's the point. In other words, that's the point. In other words, that's why we take out the words Ahud Paga Bereisha, and therefore, which we have in our printed Gemara over here, and therefore it yields that the only reason is Zeret HaKosik. The Pasuk says that it's Asher Pesach Oyel Moed, and the words Asher Pesach Oyel Moed means the side that faces the Oyel Moed. In other words, it's not a question of you're doing it because Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvah, you're doing it because it says Asher Pesach Oyel Moed. What the underlying reason for that is we're not getting into. Tosfos actually discusses that elsewhere in fact. Well, there is a concept called Ein Ma'avir. Ein Ma'avir, I mean, no, but it means obviously the same rule applies to Mishkan and the Beit Hamikdash, unless otherwise specified. The Torah is not changeable. So if the Torah gives us, in general, most of the time, the mitzvahs that are given regarding the Karbanos, it's the same rule applying Mishkan and later on the Beit Hamikdash. So, certain things obviously. Right, but that's what it means, though. It means whatever takes the place of Oyel Moed eventually, which is that. You have a few rare things that were meant to be only in the midbar and were not meant for future times. But in general, a mitzvah that's said in the Torah in connection with the Mishkan, in connection with the Oyel Moed, is meant to apply also to the Beit Hamikdash. All right, anyway, Tosfos discusses this matter of Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvah elsewhere in Shas, and then discusses the pros and cons of that. Do we maybe say it even when there's only one mitzvah involved? Is it maybe a Deraisa versus Derabanan thing? It comes out, though, at least from what Tosfos is saying over here, it comes out that the basic concept of Ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvah is Deraisa. We're just not getting into it over here, because that's why Tosfos has to deal with why would the Pasuk be saying this, but we're not saying in other words that
it's saying that it's
We're saying there's a cost, in other words, but the facts. So in other words,
it's irrelevant whether it's true or not.
No, but it is very relevant because Tosfos acts. Tosfos
doesn't apply here.
One second. It doesn't apply over here, but Tosfos mentions, for example, that Tosfos mentions in this connection, and different poskim talk about in this connection. For example, we have a din in the Gemara, and it's from there at Shulchan Aruch that says like this. You're supposed to take out your tefillin shoyab before your tefillin. You're supposed to put on your tefillin shoyab before your tefillin shorosh. We know that based on the pasuk, uksharchem lois ayajecha, and only then v'hoyu the lochetachas meninecha. That as long as it's lochetachas meninecha, you need to have on both of them, the shoyab and the shorosh. Therefore, you put on the shoyab. V'hoyu meaning that they, that when you have lochetachas meninecha, there should be a v'hoyu. You should have both of them. We'll learn about that in Menacha in a few months. That's the shame. But anyway, the point is. What happens if you take that and you show Rosh first? Should you put it on because in Mavir and Amis this, or should you not? Because the fact is you have this process. So one idea, one way of looking at it is that so you have most of the Rishonim and Achronim hold, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that nevertheless in that case you set aside the issue of Ein Ma'avir and Al-Mitzvot in favor of the fact that they are the Torah specifically telling, because the Torah is specifically telling you V'hoyu was the Tavos Meninecha. So even if it's
right,
but meaningless, even though as Tosfos is implying over here, Ein Ma'avir and Al-Mitzvot is itself a concept Daraisa, but it's overridden by in this specific case the fact that it says V'hoyu was the Tavos Meninecha.
So when is it applied? Give me an example.
So for example, so they talk about it. So what about, now let's say, you're supposed to put on your talus before your tefillin. And that's why in everybody's tefillin, in everybody's talus bag, you put your tefillin in the back and then you put towards the bottom and you put your talus above it. That way you'll reach the talus first. What happens if it so happened that you took out your tefillin first? Then actually you have to put on the tefillin first. Then we say, Amar, that's an example of Amar Viren on a mitzvah. Because there, you know, you have maybe a master and a prophet that says you should put on the talus first, but basically there's no explicit source for it, like there is for how you're looking at Tavos Meninecha. So therefore, you have no choice. You have to follow the Torah is saying over here, that Ein Ma'avir Al-Mitzvah is Daraisa, and therefore put on the tefillin first and put on the talus afterwards. So it does come up. Okay. Fine. Okay, turn it up on them. So now we learn a Braisa, which we're going to first learn the Braisa and then analyze it in detail. The pasuk says, "Oh, you save mizbach ha'olah." The pasuk says that you pour the remainder of the blood of the parakoyin mashiach and the parahelam davashal tibur and whatever. It says so. Actually, what it is like you have five, again. You have in the pasuk in there in Parshas Vayikra, it describes five types of tzaddik. Two of them are chatoris apnimius, namely the power of the kohen gadol, the power of kohen mashiach, and the parahelam davashal tibur. Then it goes on to talk about three chatois chetzoim, three ordinary types of chatos. Namely, you have the one that a nasi brings, which is a male goat, and you have the two types that a commoner could bring, namely a female sheep or a female goat. So you have five. So you have five sections over there. By some of them, the pasuk says that you pour the remainder of the blood to the yisod hamizbeach. And by some of them it says yisod mizbach ha'olah. So let's analyze why. So we have to analyze why it says by each one, why by some of them it says one and some of them it says the other. And what are we learning from each of these repetitions? So when it says oh yisod mizbach ha'olah, when it says by one of them that you pour the blood onto the yisod mizbach ha'olah, which it says by the power of Kohen Mashiach, that implies. That means to teach us, you should not be pouring the remainder of that blood onto the yisod of the inner mizbeach. It has to go on the yisod of the outer mizbeach. Then when you have mizbeach ha'olah, means the outer mizbeach, where Orla said, bro. Then when it says again, by the Soyer Nasi, which is one of the outside chatois, it says again, oh, you said mizbach ha'olah, and there's no reason as we'll see in the Gemara, there's no reason for us to say that there's no havam in it with that the blood should be brought in and poured on the base of the mizbeach ha'olah, because the whole korban is being brought outside in the azara. So what do we need over there? Why doesn't it specify there, oh, you said mizbach ha'olah? The reason is, it teaches us, ein lo yisod l'pnim. It means you should know. Not only is it that you're not bringing the blood into the mizbeach, into the mizbeach apnimi, that's obvious, but you should know the mizbeach apnimi doesn't even have it. That's what that second one is teaching us. You studied Mizbech HaOlah, teaches us. So the first one taught us in the case of the parakohen gadol, which goes inside the hayfel. Don't think you should be pouring the blood on the base of the Mizbech HaGadol. The second halacha teaches us you should know there's not even anything to talk about. Mizbech HaGadol doesn't even have it. And by base, obviously, what we mean is, we don't just mean the bottom of it, what we mean is the ledge-type thing, as we'll see later on, that the Mizbeach, HaChitzin had. The Mizbeach HaChitzin had a Yisoid, which was an Amma tall thing that came up from the floor, then it indented an Amma, and then you had the rest of the Mizbeach went upward from there. So you had this ledge sticking out like an Amma by an Amma, which was the Yisoid.
That was what?
Only the outer Mizbeach. That's the Yisoid. That's where the Shiraim, afford. But so the point is, the Mizbeach HaZav didn't even have the thing. You just had the bottom of it was just, the bottom of it was just straight, right. Okay, so that's what two of the Pesukim are teaching. Then when it says a third time, oh, Yisoid Mizbeach HaZav, then it says a third time by the case of the power Helam Dava Shal Tzibur. Now we already know that you don't pour the blood of the one of the Kohen Gadol on the Yisoid of the Mizbeach HaZav, and we know already, in fact, it doesn't even have the Yisoid. So what does that third one teach us? It teaches us 10 yesoid of Mizbeach Shal Oil. It means give a yesoid to the sacrificing of the oil. Which means, so Rashi explains that what that means is that third one is teaching us the concept that an oil, and by extension other korbanos, the klal, have their blood poured on the yesoid. Because it's, in particular, when it comes to the oil, we don't find any other pasuk that says that the remainder of the blood of the oil is poured on the yesoid.
The remainder meaning what?
Meaning, you know, you took the blood of the oil, you caught it in the mizrach, you walked it over to the mizrach, you did the matonis shine chain out, you threw it against the two opposite corners of the mizrach. Now, if you have any blood left in the mizrach, now you're supposed to pour it on the yesoid. But by the Ola, it never actually says that in so many words in the Pesuk. Therefore, Rashi says, that's what we say over here, 10 Yisoid, Lemizbeach Shal Ola, it means that. It means you should know that the Shirayim have to be poured onto the Yisoid.
After the
Shema Sanas Chain Adam. Because again, by some Korbanos, by the Chafetz, for example, we find it saying that. By the Ola and many other Korbanos, we never find it saying so in so many words. Therefore, that's what we learned from the third time it says Yisoid Mizbeach HaOlah.
We have that tradition.
Obviously, but it still has to be recorded someplace in a part. You have the occasional thing in Korbanos that's a pure halakha motion of Sinai without any source in Torah, but generally speaking, the rules of Korbanos, we may have to derive them in very convoluted ways using the usual midas rachar and adreshes behind and whatever, but we still do find a source for them someplace in Torah Shabbat. So this is one of them. Anyway, that's how Rashi learns this 10 yesod lemizbeach shel olah. Tosfos and Amud Beis, you'll see, I think you'll notice on the Beis, you have a grand total of three lines of Gemara, because most of it is taken up with a long Tosfos that gets into, and then you're a whole... No, I'll mention it briefly now. Tosfos mentions, it brings this explanation of Rashi. However, Tosfos has many, many questions on Rashi, which is what takes a substantial part of that Tosfos. Among the many questions are, we already learned this concept that the Shirayim are poured onto the third. We learned in a previous parak, the Dam Zvachata Yishon. So why do we need a different pulpit for it over here? So because of that, and many other questions, Tosfos brings two other possibilities. One is from Rabbeinu Chaim, one of the Balei HaTosfos. Give me one of the Balei HaTosfos. He's someplace in France, I guess. Rabbeinu Chaim was his name. I don't know anything about him, but you know, as the famous expression goes, we're more interested in what the, as the famous expression goes, it was originally said about Rashi. We're more interested in what he wrote than the color of his clothes. So you know. It's interesting to know their biographies, but it's not. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the first Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chaim that maybe we can modify Rashi's thing and say that fine. For most korbanos, yes, we can learn it from Dam Zvachata Yishon that the rest of the blood is poured on the yisoid. But what about the oil? But you need a specific pasuk for the oila, because after all, that pasuk, Dam Zvachata Yishon, we're talking about korbanos that are eaten, whereas the oila is not. So therefore, you need a special pasuk for it, and that would be what we're saying over here. The third time it says you serve Mizbeach HaOlah. Okay, then Tosfos mentions a whole other explanation that 10 yesod lemizbeach shel olah means make sure, you have to make sure that when you sprinkle the blood of the Ola, when you dash it against the corners of the Mizeach, it has to be corners that have a Yisod. Then we're going to see in a couple of blocks, again, given that the Yisod only went around two full sides of the Mizeach and then stuck out on the other two sides, it means there was one corner, the southeastern corner, had no Yisod at all. So therefore, it has to be that where you're stripping the blood of the Ola has to be a corner, has to be corners that both have a Yisod.
So you said it's not two ledges, just one.
It's one ledge, but we'll see later on in the parak. Actually, we have an opinion later on in the parak that there was a physical yisod on all four sides, actually, but that for purposes of halacha, only two sides of it were counted. The Rambam understands not like that, though. So one way of looking at it, as we'll see in a couple of blocks, we'll see later on that from Gimel Mizalit, that you have an opinion that there was physical Yisod, it did physically stick out an Amma on all four sides. However, for purposes of the halachos of Yisod, only two sides of it are considered Yisod and the other two sides are not. The other two sides are just there.
It wasn't there. It's not a Yisod.
So according to that, parts of that ledge are still physically there, but they're not considered the Yisod. According to the other opinion, they didn't physically exist at all. On two sides, or one and a half sides, or whatever, parts of two sides, or whatever, the wall of the Mizeach just went straight down to the ground. And on the other two sides, it went like this.
And when we know that, where's the sort of...
We'll see. We'll get to it later. We're gonna have in a couple of blocks, the first substantial piece of Agadza that we had in this Masechta, and we'll see this in the fourth of that. Alright. Anyway, Tosfos explains another possibility of what it means, can you throw them as Be'ach Shel Ola, that the saying over here means make sure that the sprinklings of the Ola are done on the parts of the Mizbeach that have a Yisod beneath. Okay. Continues the Braita. Oy eina ela mizivcha shel Ola, oy eina ela mizbecha, or mizivcha shel Ola, maybe not. Who says, maybe what we're learning from the third Yisod Mizbeach Ola is teaching us that the blood has to be sprinkled above in some place above the Yisod, or according to Tosfos' explanation on Amud Beis, who says that is what it means, actually, that is what we meant, can you say that the Be'ach Shel Ola, then the Havam, you know, over here would be, how do we know, maybe it means that when it comes to Tosfos would understand that, one second, listen, according to Rashi, what the Braita is saying is as follows, the third Yisod Mizbeach Ola teaches us that the shirayim of the Ola and all other korbanos have to be poured onto the Yisod. According to Tosfos' second explanation, not Rabbi Nachman, the second explanation over there. According to Tosfos' second explanation, ten Yisod from the Be'ach Shel Ola means sprinkle the blood on a part of the wall that has Yisod beneath it. And when the Braita continues over here, it means, how do we know? Maybe it means by an Ola, all of the pouring of the blood is just done onto the Yisod. How do you know? The Shema from Ashrein Abra in the first place. Maybe you just go and pour the blood directly onto the Yisod. Okay. Anyway, according to either explanation, the answer is Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I don't need a pasuk for that. I don't need the third Yisod Mizbeach Ola to teach us that concept. Because Kav HaChomer. Because it can make a Kav HaChomer. Ma shirayim she'en mechaper to unin yisoid, ma dachvi shirayim, the leftover blood, which are not mechaper, because by the time they're dealt with, the kapara has already been accomplished, to unin yisoid, and they still require to be poured onto the yisoid. Tchilas ola she'mechaperet. Well, in the beginning, the original sprinkling of the blood of the ola, which is actually mechaper, because that's what accomplishes the kapara, is sprinkling, ein adin she'to unin yisoid. How much more so that it should require yisoid? So again, a point of action. From that we can see, therefore, that it does, that from that we can see, therefore, that
maybe because they are mechaperim that they don't need the yisod.
No, what would be the logic of that?
The logic would be just that.
No, there's no reason to think such logic. If we're saying the shirayim are not mechaper and still the Torah is insisting they have to be poured on the yisod, how much more so than the actual
sprinkling?
Because
they don't mechaper, they need the yisod.
Nah, because there's no reason to think that way. The fact that they're not machaper is a reason to be more lenient with them, not to be more stringent with them. That's the way a Kabbalah claim works. So therefore, again, according to Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Chaim, we're left with our original understanding of the third Yisod Mizbeach Ola, that make sure that you pour the Shirayim onto the Yisod. and according and we have that and we have that. And according to Tosfos, we learn from it that make sure that we do the sprinklings over a part of the mizbeach that has yisoid. Okay. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says basically the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel, but with a nuanced difference, which we're going to see later in the Gemara, what the difference is, what the actual difference between them is. Rabbi Akiva says, Ma shirayim shein mechafrin ve'ein boyin mechafara, ma dasa shirayim, which they're not mechafra, and they don't even come for kapara, which we'll see later what Rabbi Akiva means by that extra statement. Tu'uni yisoid, and yet Torah is stringent on them that they have to be poured on the yisoid, and no place else. Well, the beginning, the original sprinklings of the Ola, Shemachaperis, which are actually Machaper, Uvala Kapara, and they're actually brought for the purposes of Kapara, ain't a dinsha to only yisod. How much more so that it should need a yisod? Even came, that sounds like basically the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel. We're going to see later on Nunbeis what the actual difference between them is. So what does it mean? In Cain, Masam, and Lemuel, Yisod, Mizbahar. So we're back to, in that case, what are we doing with the third time that it said, Yisod, Mizbahar? Again, the first one taught us that even with Kacharis HaPnimius, you don't pour the blood on the base of the Mizbeach HaPnimius, the Mizbeach HaZav. The second one teaches us the Mizbeach HaZav doesn't even have Yisod. The third one, what does it come to teach us? Well, like we said before, can you Yisod the Mizbeach HaShalola? Make sure that the Ola path is done in a way that involves the Yisod. Again, according to Rashi, pour the Shirayim of the Ola and all of the Korbanos onto the Yisod. According to Rabbeinu Chaim, only the Ola. And according to Tosfos, it means that make sure that when you do the sprinkling of the Ola, that it's over, that it's on the parts of the wall of the Mizbeach that have Yisod in it.
According to Rashi, make sure that you pour...
Make sure that you pour the Shirayim onto the Yisod.
On the Yisod.
Right.
According to
Rabbeinu Chaim, same thing, but only the Ola. And only for the Ola, so the other ones we have possibly put down to the Hafei Shabbos. And according to Tosfos, his own explanation, it means make sure that the part of the wall of the Mizbeach, where you dash the blood against it, is a part that has Yisod beneath it. Fine. Thus far the Braisa. Now let's start analyzing it. Amamar, El Yisod Mizbeach, Velo Yisod Mizbeach HaPnim. So we said, the first El Yisod Mizbeach HaOla teaches us that you do not pour the remaining blood of the Par Kohen Mashiach onto the Yisod of the Mizbeach HaPnim. Instead, you pour it on the Yisod of the Mizbeach HaOla, which is the Mizbeach HaPnim. The question is, how can you...
And what about other Korbanos?
That's what we said. First we learn that one, then we learn the second
one. One by one.
So the question is, how many Borei the Gufei? How can you learn anything from those words? You need those words just to tell you the basic idea that they have to be poured onto the Yisod, because otherwise where are you going to know that concept from? So maybe then in that mode, don't douche anything from that. Maybe what it means is, okay, you have to pour them onto the Yisod of some Mizbeach. It could be the Mizbeach HaChitzen if you want. It could be the Mizbeach HaPnimi if you want. How are you douching from those words that it has to be dafka on the Mizbeach HaChitzen? When without those words, you wouldn't know of anything at all, and therefore you need it. Legufo, just to teach us the basic concept of pouring onto the Yisod. The answer is Mashet Petach Oyo Moyen Namka. The answer is that we can learn that. The answer is we have another pasuk. We have the pasuk that we mentioned before, Mashet Petach Oyo Moyen, that is in front of the door of Oyo Moyen. Now, after all, the pasuk could have just said that you pour the blood onto the Yisod and there Mashet Petach Oyo Moyen, and then we would understand it means the outside there. Why does it also add that it's the Mizbeach HaOla that teaches us that it could be the one in outside the Mizbeach the Oyo Moed, but it has to be that one. So the words Asher Pesach HaOyo Moed teach us that a place to pour it is the Shirayim is outside of there. But if we only have that, you would think it could be either outside or inside. Then when it says Mizbeach HaOla, Asher Pesach HaOyo Moed, that means Dafka has to be the outer Mizbeach. There you have two phrases that teach us that it's the outer Mizbeach, and as usual, two phrases mean it's Mizbeach
HaOla has to be the Chitzoni.
That's the point, in other words.
That's the point.
If it only said Pesach HaOyo Moed, then you would think it means, okay, you could pour it on that one. But instead, if you want, you could pour it on the inside one instead. That's why it says both expressions, Asher Pesach HaOyo Moed, which teaches us therefore that you should pour it on the one which is Asher Pesach HaOyo Moed, and Mizbeach HaOla clarifies that and says you dafka have to put it there. Don't even think that you can put it on the inner Mizbeach. That's what the Braisa meant when he said before that from Yisod Mizbeach HaOla, we learn that it means it dafka has to be on the outside one. It means in combination with the words Asher Pesach HaOyo Moed, you have two things that are teaching us that.
Right. So otherwise, therefore, How could you?
If you only had one, you would think it means you could do one or you could do the other. You have your choice. It could be Asher Pesach or Yomarid, but it doesn't happen.
So let me ask you a question. Mizdach Ola can mean also Mizdach Ola?
No, but if you only had Mizdach Ola, it could mean you want to pour it on the Mizdach Ola, go ahead. But if you want to pour it on the base of the Mizdach Ola, you could do that instead also. Well, you wouldn't know. That means that's the one and not the other. By having both expressions, it means that Mamayat, you cannot do it on the base of the Mizdach Ola. It's like the concept that we had all this time, that you have to have something said twice in order to be Ma'at. Okay. Well, then we continue.
Do you do it live?
Do you do it? I don't know. No, probably not. At worst, it's a lava bombing call. It wouldn't have the status of a lava. And we're going to learn later on, actually. We're going to discuss later on in Sylvia the question of Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva. Is the Shvichas Shirayim Ma'at? If you say that it's ma'akev, then yeah, if you pours it on the basis of the Zerazov, then the kapara hasn't been properly accomplished. So, yeah. Okay. Okay, then we continued in the Braise. Oh, you sowed Mizbach Ola. We said 10 you sowed them as Be'ashal Ola. We said that the word, the third time it says you sowed Mizbach Ola, teaches us that the Mizbach of Ola has to have a you sowed, which again, according to Rashi, meant that there has to be Shvichas Shirayim by the Ola and by all other Korbanos. And according to Rabbeinu Chaim, only by the Ola, the other Korbanos we know from elsewhere. And according to Tosfos, that make sure the part where you sprinkle the blood is above the you sowed. And the reason why, how can we darshan it to say that? Because if you're just going to say that it means exactly what it sounds like, hani lama, meaning in other words, that it just means you pour it on the yisod of the mizbeach ha'olah.
But it has to be yisod.
But if we had that already, right, hani lama li, then why would you need this process? The Shirayim. You'd say you need it only to teach us about the Shirayim. Shirayim habaraya obviously. The fact is, you know that the Shirayim, in other words, the point is like this. We were saying, again, we said we had three Mizbeach Ha'ol. It can't just mean that one of them is, we said the second one is teaching us that the Mizbeach Hazal doesn't have a Yisod, and the third one is teaching us this 10 Yisod of the Mizbeach Shalom. If you think it just means that flat out, it means make sure that when you pour the shirayim of the sorer nasi, which is the third time where it says it's sorer mizbeach ha'ola, then make sure you pour it on the outer mizbeach. The point is, you don't need that. Why would you need it? The shirayim, you need to tell us exactly that. The shirayim are poured on the outside. Well, of course, shirayim ha'baray, abdullahu. Obviously, you do them on the outside because the whole korban itself is taking place outside the hevel. When it comes to the power Kohen Mashiach and the power Helam Delvash Al Sibur, okay, the blood of them is sprinkled inside the Heichel, therefore you need a posit to teach us that make sure that the Shirayim are poured outside the Heichel. But the Sur Nasi, the whole thing is done outside the Heichel. What would you even need to have on it to think that you should bring the blood into the Heichel? So therefore, obviously, that posit must be coming to teach us this concept of 10 Yisod and the Zeyah Shalom.
It can't
be teaching us just about the Chaf itself, right? Just about the Shirayim B'Chaf itself, because it would be fairly obvious. The Chi Tema, and if you were going to say, well, maybe not. Who says? Maybe the Apich Mezach, maybe you would say, if it weren't for that Pasuk, maybe you would think, okay, what the Pasuk means is that each one, you flip things around. The Beroy L'Gavoy or the Gavoy L'Zoy. Maybe you would think that the Pasuk is saying like this. Korbanos, where the blood is sprinkled inside the heichel, afterwards the shirayim are poured outside the heichel. Maybe the pasuk is implying the other way around also. The reverse is also true. Korbanos that are brought outside the heichel on the mizbeach ha'chesed, the shirayim are poured on the mizbeach ha'zav. That's the point. But you can't. Ha'ein lo yisod l'pnimi atzmai. But you already established from the second yisod mizbeach ha'ola that the pnimi doesn't even have a yisod. So therefore, that is how the Braita, by elimination, learns that therefore it must be that the third one is teaching us, can you sow the Mizbeach Shalom? Make sure that the Shirayim are poured on the Mizbeach, on the Yisod, and then not elsewhere. Make sure that the sprinkling earlier on is done on a wall of the Mizbeach that's above the Yisod. So that's by elimination, we know that.
Number one.
It can't teach us number one that you don't pour it on the inner mizbeach because there's no reason to think that you would if the korban is done outside. And even if you were to think, okay, maybe the pasuk wants to do like that, a korban inside, then afterwards it goes outside, and a korban outside, afterwards it goes inside. But you can't because you already established the mizbeach hazal doesn't have it inside anyway, so there's nothing to pour it on. By elimination, therefore, obviously, we know that it's poured on the third and the mizbeach chitzen. And therefore, it must be coming to teach us, as we said, that the din of 10 yisoid on the Mizbeach Shalom. Okay, so that explains that.
Exclusively for the...
That it means exclusively to make sure that the Yishrayim are poured on the Mizbeach HaZahav and on the Mizbeach HaKitzen and no place else, or make sure that the sprinkling earlier on, when you're doing the sprinkling, is done on a side of the Mizbeach that has the Yishrayim. Okay. Fine. Then we continue with the Braisa. So then we continued in the Braisa. Maybe not. We said that maybe you could argue that it means that the sacrificing of the Ola should be on the Yisod, which again, according to Rashi, meant meaning the sprinkling of the blood. But in other words, again, according to Rashi, we said that the Braisa's Havamina was, when said Oyeina Ela, meant that maybe we're learning from these words this concept that Tosfos is in fact learning from them, that the sprinkling has to be done on a side above the Yisod. Or according to Tosfos, that how do we know that maybe you would think maybe there's no sprinkling on the sides at all, maybe you just pour directly onto the Yisod. That's what Tosfos is understanding of the Havam, you know, of the Braisa. Right. So the question is, why would you even think that? Miksiv or Yisod Ha'olah? Does it say, after all, does the Pasuk say that you should pour to the Yisod of the Olah? Oh, Yisod Mizbach Ha'olah, Ksiv. It says to the Yisod of the Mizbeach Ha'olah. So let's learn with Rashi. If you say that the Pasuk is teaching us about the pouring of the Shirayim, then okay, that's why it says the word Mizbach HaOlah. But if you're going to argue that maybe the Pasuk is teaching us about where the sprinkling itself has to be done, which is an earlier stage of things, then what do you mean? You have to put it on a side that has Yisod beneath it. A chasaf, you're putting the blood on all four corners of it. Some corners have Yisod beneath them, some don't. So obviously the prophet can't, obviously in context with talking about a chasaf, can't be teaching us that. Okay, but the answer is, you have a ksiv, or Yisod ha'olah, fine. But on the other hand, if it only said, Yisod ha'olah, have amin of kifah el Yisod, fine. Then you would think, you know what you have to do? You have to apply the blood. You have to apply the blood on the vertical rise of the oval. In other words, again, we are talking about that the according to Rashi, that the pasuk is teaching us about what you do with the shirayim, that they have to be poured on the yisod. But the reason why it says the word mizbeach is because if it only said, oh, yisod ha'olah, then you would think, what should you do with this blood? You should not necessarily are you going to pour it onto the horizontal surface of the yisod. Maybe it means you have to pour it down onto the vertical surface of the yisod, the one amma that goes upwards.
The yisod is considered
the yisod is both. I told you, it has a vertical rise of one amma off the floor, and then has a horizontal inset of one amma reaching then to the wall of the mizbeach, going up from there.
It's like a platform, basically. So one vertical, one horizontal.
And one horizontal.
So it could mean either vertical or the horizontal.
So if you didn't have the word mizbeach, then you would think, oh, yisod ha'olah. Fine, you would understand that it means the shirayim rather than the zrikas adam itself. However, you would think it means the shirayim should be poured onto that vertical line. Therefore, hashtag siva yisod mizbeach ha'olah. Then, no, since it says to the yisod of the mizbeach ha'olah, so that means, in other words, we have to pour it onto a part of the yisod which is similar to the mizbeach, namely the horizontal part of it, which is similar to the mizbeach in the sense that the mizbeach has a top and the yisod also has a top.
The mizbeach, strictly speaking, is only the horizontal part.
Well, yeah, in a certain sense. I mean, the vertical walls of it are also part of the mizbeach, obviously,
but the
structure, but the essential part, in a certain sense, is the heart. Yeah, so that's where the fire is, and yeah. So by saying El Yisod Mizbeach Ha'olah, that gives us both. So that's what the Braisa meant when it said that you would think That's what the Braise meant when it said that you would think that maybe it's teaching us a din that the Shiraim, again, looking at it from Rashi's point of view, that the Hava Amina of the Braise was maybe you're learning from this Pasuk about sprinkling the blood itself, that it has to be on the wall of the Mizbeach. But therefore, so the answer is no. We're definitely clear that it's talking about the Shiraim. But the point is, if it weren't for the word Mizbeach, we would think the Shiraim go on to the vertical rise. And like this now, we know it goes on to the horizontal instead. Fine. Now, once we establish that, then we understand now what Rabbi Shmuel and then Rabbi Akiva mean when they mention that we don't need to learn that we actually don't need an extra pasuk for that because we have a kavachot. Namely, Om Rabbi Shmuel, Gag Yisod, Lama Likra. Because now Rabbi Shmuel comes in and says, in that case, why do I need a pasuk to teach us that the Shiraim go onto the top of the Yisod? Kavachomer. You could argue it's a Kavachomer. Umash Yore Chatas She'en Machaperes to Unagag. Madach, the leftovers of the Chatas, again, the Shiraim of the blood of the Chatas, which the Shiraim are not Machaper, because again, the Kapara is accomplished by the original four applications of blood of a Chatas, so really technically only by the first one, as we learned previously. And for that matter, by Chatoi Tatsunimi, if you have all the Hazois that are done inside. Rabbi Shmuel is saying a Kabbalah like this, Mash Yore Chatas, Madach, the leftover blood of the Chatas, or Shittim Kubetas changes it to Shiraim, so the Shiraim in general, of all Kabbalahs, She'enim chaper, which they don't accomplish any kapara because the kapara has already been accomplished by that time. Chuna gag, and still they have to go onto the top of the yisoid. Chilas oila shem chaper. Well, then the original sprinklings of the oila, which themselves are machaper, ain't a din. Chuna gag yisoid. How much more so that they should have to be done above the horizontal part of the yisoid, meaning don't think that they can be on the vertical part of the yisoid, below which all there is the floor. They have to be done on a part of the mizbeach above the yisoid.
Okay, so shirayim done l'chaper,
they go on to the top of the yisoid. So therefore, how much more so the actual sprinkling has to be done above the on an area above the top of the yisoid, namely on the wall of the mizbeach above the yisoid, and not on the wall of the yisoid itself. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Shmuel was saying. I don't need a pasuk to teach us, therefore, where the sprinkling itself has to take place, because that's obvious from a Kal Vachomer. Therefore, the pasuk has to be teaching us only about the Shiraim themselves, that they go on the horizontal part, not the vertical part. And then he said, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Akiva came in and said, he made the Kal Vachomer a little bit differently. Umash Yore Chakas She'en Mekaprin, Madach, the leftover blood, or again, according to Shittim HaKubetas, the leftover blood of any carbon, according to what we have here is the leftover blood of a Chakas, but whatever. She'en Mekaprin Ve'en Boin Mekaprin. They're not Mekaprin. They're not even coming in the first place to be Mekaprin, so we have to figure out, as we're going to in a couple of lines, what Rabbi Akiva is adding to Rabbi Shmuel. To'una Gag Yisoid. Nevertheless, we're saying that it still has to be done over the horizontal surface of the yisoid, above the horizontal surface of the yisoid. Rather, the shirayim themselves are poured onto the gag yisoid, onto the horizontal part of the yisoid. Tchilas oila shemachaperes, the original sprinkling of the oila, which is actually machaper, which is machaper, and coming for the purpose of kapara in the first place, and it didn't turn a gag yisoid, how much more so it has to be done over the top surface of the yisoid, so therefore on walls of the mizbeach that are above the yisoid. In pain, so now according to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, so mas hamad loyma yisoid mizbeach ha'ola. So we're back to what are we learning from that yisoid mizbeach ha'ola? Can yisoid on mizbeach ha'ola? Make sure that the mizbeach ha'ola has a yisoid. In other words, make sure again according to Rashi that the shirayim are poured onto the actual yisoid. Again, that the zrikas themselves have to be done above the yisoid that we have from this kavachomer. The pasuk is teaching us that the shirayim are poured onto the have to be poured onto the yisoid itself.
That's the third.
That was the third one, right? Okay. So now the question is, my binayu. So okay, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva seem to be basically the same thing. Rabbi Shmuel used the expression she'en machaperes and shemachaperes. Rabbi Akiva is saying she'en machaperin ve'en boin machaper versus shemachaperes ve'bo lachaper. What is he adding? Yeah. Amar Rav Adba Av Shiraim Ma'atim. the nafkamina between them would be, are the shirayim ma'akad? If you don't pour the shirayim, has the kapara been accomplished or not? So Rabbi Shmuel will say like this. It's true the shirayim are not part of the kapara. However, they are ma'akad. The korban has not been completely done without the shirayim. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would say, Einan, going like a kapara, that they're not even, nothing whatsoever depends on them. So now Tosfos actually earlier, well, so in other words, like this. So if you were to have, for example, now Tosfos actually discusses earlier, in earlier Prokim, back on the test or so, Tosfos discussed the possibility that maybe we would say, according to one of these opinions, we would say that when it comes to the Hatoris of Pneumius, if you were talking about Hatoris of Pneumius, Tosfos elsewhere mentioned that maybe the Machlokes would apply to Hatoris as well. But definitely Hatoris of Pneumius. Like this. Rabbi Shmuel would say, the kapara is accomplished by, let's say, in the case of the Karbanos of Yom Kippur, the 43 sprinklings that are done in the Hayfa. However, those 43 sprinklings are not completely kosher unless also the Shirayim are poured on the Mizbeach. If the blood were to spill, for example, before the Shirayim were poured, or if he were just poured, then you would have to redo that. They're all 43. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, so that's in that sense, in other words, so they're not Mechaper, but they're Ma'akir. They're Ma'akir, the kapara of the other. That's what he means when he says Shein Mechaper. Rabbi Akiva is saying that not only they're not ma'akiv, but in boring the kapara, nothing of the kapara actually depends on them. If the shirayim spilled after you finish the 43 kapara, no, according to Rabbi Akiva, just the opposite. Complete kapara has been accomplished at that point. Nothing else is needed.
Oh.
You don't, according to Rabbi Akiva, the shirayim, when we say in our mission, imlay nasan la'ikiv, that's according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel would disagree with that concept. Rabbi Shmuel would say that at least with the Chatoris of Pneumius, and again, according to Rabbi Natan, maybe even the Chatoris of Pneumius, no, the Shlichas Shirayim is in fact Ma'akir. If it wasn't done, then the Korban is not, then the Korban is not,
as with
Rabbi Shmuel would say. Yeah.
So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you need both.
So that's the point. Now, with the point of Rabbi Shmuel, we still say the Shlichas Shirayim is not Ma'akir. The Kapara is accomplished by the... Well, not really. It's not Mechaper in the sense the actual Kapara is accomplished by the 43 or 11 or 4 or whatever it is number of sprinklings. But after all of that, there has to be Shvichas Shirayim or else it's no good. And according to Rabbi Akiva, no.
And nothing is accomplished.
Right. There is also, by the way, some discussion among us.
Halacha is like
Rabbi Akiva, yeah. That's when we say in our Mishnah, Imlay Nasan La'ikiv, it's Sam Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. It's fine, usually the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva against the Bishmala. There is actually a point that Achronim discuss over here, which actually is briefly discussed in a Tosfos later on. According to Rabbi Shmuel, are we also saying that there necessarily has to be Shirayim left in the first place? What if, for example, you know, you were to take the blood of the tyrant Sarah of Yom Kippur, let's say, and the Kohen Gadol does, let's say it so happens he uses up all of the blood in the 43 sprinklings. Would that also be what we're talking about over here, that the Shirayim is ma'akiv? Or would we say, no, if there's Shirayim left, then it's ma'akiv. But even Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't hold that you necessarily have to have Shirayim left at the end. So it's a discussion among Achronim about the pros and cons there. So that's the difference. Mar Sava Ma'afi or Mar Sava Loi Ma'afi, Rabbi Shmuel will hold that the Shvichas Shirayim is Ma'afir, and therefore he can't say that ain't a ball of Kapara, because the fact is they do come as an essential part of the Kapara, even though they complete the Kapara, even though they themselves are not part of it. Mar Sava Loi Ma'afi, whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold it's not Ma'afir at all, and therefore he uses the expression ain't a boring Ma'afir, that they don't come with anything, they don't have anything to do with the Kapara.
So what are they using for it?
According to him,
they need it, but not the kapara.
Well, according to now, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that there's a mitzvah to pour out the shirayim. The Gemara has an expression in some places that you have things that are called shirei mitzvah, the leftovers of a mitzvah. This is one example. Michana occurred in the fourth chapter. There's another one. You have a few examples in different places where you have something which is not essential to the performance of the mitzvah, but nevertheless Hashem still wants you to do it. And if you didn't, then it's held against you. And we learned back in the first parak, actually, about smicha in that connection. So, yeah. So Rabbi Akiva would say the same thing about the shvichas shirayim. If it wasn't done, the mitzvah wasn't done in the best possible way, but nevertheless, the korban is still kosher. Okay. Basically. Okay. Rapapa, but the kula on the shirayim in that. Rav Papa says out a different way of explaining it. Everybody would agree that pouring out the shirayim is not ma'akiv, even Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is not about animal korbanos, but rather about bird korbanos. Specifically, when it comes to chatas ha'oif, we're going to learn later on in the next day, that a chatas ha'oif, the way that it's accomplished is the kohen does mulis on it. Unlike with an oilas ha'oif, as we're going to say over there, an oilas ha'oif, he actually physically divides the head from the body and then presses out the blood of each part individually on the back. With the chatas ha'oif, he doesn't separate the two parts. He takes the body of the bird. He spritzes out the blood of it onto the mizbeach. That's the equivalent of zika. After Melissa, that's the equivalent of zika.
Because the head is still there.
The head is still attached to the body. So he squeezes out some of it onto the wall of the mizbeach. Then what he does is he takes the bird then and presses it against the mizbeach in order to squeeze out more of the blood, which will then trickle down to the yisod. So that second part is called mitzuri, and that second part is called mitzuri, and that's also in a certain sense a form of shirai. So therefore, we can say that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about that. They're arguing, is this mitzuri chatas ha'oif, the second stage of what you do with the chatas, is that ma'akiv? Ma'asava ma'akiv or ma'asava la ma'akiv? Rabbi Shmuel would hold that it's ma'akiv, Rabbi Akiva would hold that's not.
Now, so the mitzuri is after you...
After you do the malika, and after you do the initial hazah, which is you squeeze it so that some blood comes onto the wall of the mizbeach, then you press it against the wall of the mizbeach in order to get everything.
Initial squeezing is away from the
wall. Yes, it's away from the wall of the mizbeach. Now, usually, I just mentioned that usually the rule is when you have Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Akiva, for that matter, when you have anybody against Rabbi Akiva, usually the halacha is like. This is a rare case where the Rambam passed in like a Shmuel instead on the basis, the Nois HaKelem of the Rambam explained that this is on the basis of the Gemara in Me'ilah, where the sugya is more or less repeated, and there the Gemara concludes, and then the discussion in the Gemara there assumes that takes it for granted pretty much, or that the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, that mystery is massive. So therefore the Rambam passed in on the basis of that.
So why is it like that?
Why is it like that? It happens.
Why
is it
like that?
Because that sugya goes like this. In general, you have there's a certain difference between the way that Rambam paskins, between the Rambam style of paskining and what the Tosfos is. When you have different sugyas that contradict each other, or that come to different conclusions, or take different approaches, or whatever, the Rambam many times will say, well, not in so many words, but the Nois HaKelem explained that the Rambam will take the view that we follow one and ignore the other one. We follow one because it's the main place where this concept is talked about, or because the Gemara discusses it more fully over there, or because whatever. Whereas Tosfos, a lot of times, will try to harmonize the two sugyas and show how they don't necessarily disagree. Sometimes even Tosfos have to, so to speak, throw up their hands and say there's no choice but to say the different sugyas argue with each other. But as much as possible, they try to harmonize them. Whereas the Rambam is more willing to say, I'll take this one and set aside that.
Well, he came first, so it's easier.
No, actually, he didn't. The Rambam was actually contemporary with the later Balei Tosfos. For example, Rabbeinu Tam, was 30 odd years older than the Rambam. Yeah, it was contemporary. It was contemporary with the middle, with the middle and later Balei Tosfos. Yeah,
he came way before the
Okay.
So the Balei Tosfos, they paskin also a lot.
Well, in the course of their discussions, I mean, you have Sfarim that various Balei Tosfos wrote to actually come out with a final decision in halacha.
Right.
For example, you have the Piskei Rosh. You have the printed in the back of most Masechtos of Shas. You have the Piskei Rosh. The Rosh was one of the leaders to the Balei Tosfos, and he actually wrote his sefer in order to actually determine from the discussion in the Gemara what the actual halacha. But you have, he also wrote Tosfos, like the Tosfos that we have over here, which just analyzed the Gemara, not necessarily with a view to coming up with the conclusion in Halacha, but more with a view to understanding the Gemara and analyzing what the Gemara is saying. Sometimes, nevertheless, from the Tosfos that we have in front of us and from other collections of Tosfos, many times classical Piskei Halacha come out from their discussion. And you have, in the back of most Masechtos of Shas, right after usually the first or second thing that you have in most printed Masechtos, right after the text of the Masechta itself, you usually have Piskei Tosfos. which is a collection somebody did, that they went through Tosfos, they went through Tosfos and extracted the actual Piskei Halacha that we derive from what Tosfos said. So here, for example, you have at the end of the Zvachim over here, you have Piskei Tosfos and the Sefer Zvachim. You know, you have 79 halachas or concepts in halacha or whatever that are derived from various things that Tosfos says.
Do they agree with the Rambam?
No, sometimes they agree, sometimes they don't agree. I mean, but as far as practical halacha, so eventually you have again, you know, the Beit Yosef wrote the Mechaber wrote the Shulchan Aruch, primarily relying on the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. So then the Rambam came along and added the approach of the Ashkenazic Rishonim, including the Balei HaTosfos, including various other the Issur v'Heter and the Maharil and so on and so forth.
So he based himself
sometimes, on the Piskei HaTosfos. And then later on, you have the Moshe Kalem on Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Chalkas Mechotik, etc. will all also discuss what Tosfos is saying versus what the Rambam is saying and then reach conclusion. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Dynamic.
Yes. Tanya Kavasei de Rapapa. Okay, we learn a Braisa in accordance with Rapapa's understanding of the Mechotikos of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kippa. Namely, a Braisa says, when the Pasuk says, Ve'eskob dama kor yishvich, when the Pasuk says, by the power of Kohen Mashiach, when it says, all the blood of the power you should pour onto the Yisod, matab alayma hapor, why does it have to say the power? We know already we're talking about the power. We know we're already talking about the power.
We
had a different Pasuk. No, we had a different Pasuk, but also la per hash, also the power of hapor. That was later on in that same period.
Okay.
But, yeah. So what is it? This one we didn't read. So when it says that's called Dama Por Yishvach, Matam Abayim HaPor, Limit Al Tau Yemek, it's part of Shatoan Matam Domin Lisoid, Yivir Rebbe. The Rebbe says, and we have something similar to this, and we didn't have this exact thing, but we had something similar to this earlier when we had the whole discussion between Rebbe and Rebbe Shmuel, how the Tau Shem Mitzvot, yeah. So the Rebbe says, from this word HaPor, we learn that the Tau Yemek, it's part of also the blood has to be poured onto the Yisoid, because again, in Parashat Achrei Mos, when it discusses those Korbanos, it doesn't say anything. Omer Rabbi Shmuel Kavachomer, and Rabbi Shmuel says, as he said in the Braisa that we quoted before on Nunalis, again he says, I don't need a pulpit for that, Kavachomer. Madach, when you have a korban where it's not required, and in fact you're not supposed to, bring the blood into the Heichel, namely, Lusnim over here means not into the Heichel, sorry, it means into the Kodesh HaKadosh. So Rashi explains that Lefnim over here means to not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it does mean the Heichel, but it's not a Chovah in the sense that the Kohen Gadol is not obligated to do an Aveira in order to bring the power of Kohen Mashiach, as opposed to the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, where you're obligated to bring them every year regardless. So Madach says the power of the Kohen Gadol, which is not an absolute requirement in the sense that you didn't have to get yourself in a situation to have to bring it in the first place. Because if he did the Avera, then he has to bring the Korban, but he's not obligated. Right, so that's the point, though. That's what we mean by it's not...
If he doesn't do an Avera, he doesn't bring it.
Right. He would never... A Kohen Gadol could go his whole career with never bringing a power, of Kohen Mashiach, right? Unless he made a mistake in Halacha and then followed. Yeah. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying, Ma im nisha in nichnas domen lefnim choyva, madach, when you have a korban where it's not required in the first place to bring the blood in the sense you didn't have to put yourself in a situation to bring this korban in the first place, and yet Torah Yisod, yet the Torah is machmer on it and saying that you need to pour the shirayim onto the Yisod, Misha nichnas domen lefnim choyva, well then the korbanos of Yom Kippur, where you're obligated regardless to bring them, because no matter what, whether the people did have Vedas or not, you still have to bring the korbanos every year. How much more so you should need to pour the blood on the Yisod? Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't need the word HaPor to teach us that. Omer Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, here's a different way of putting it. I can look at it a different way also. Madach, the Madach a korban where there's no chayva and there's no even mitzvah to bring it into the kodesh hakadoshim, namely the power of Kohen Gadol. Fine. Even you want to argue, you want to take the view like Rabbi Shmuel is saying that you're not obligated in the first place to bring it because you could have avoided the situation. But even let's say, okay, you got yourself into the situation, now you're bringing the power of Kohen Mashiach. The fact is, there's no mitzvah to bring it, to bring the blood into the kodesh hakadoshim. In fact, you're not supposed to. It's only supposed to be sprinkled on the head. The madach, that korban, Kohen Yisod, nevertheless, you still have to sprinkle the blood, you still have to pour the rest of the blood on Yisod. Mishnah Zomer Chovel of Naivrachim, the one, the korbanos of Yom Kippur, where you're obligated to bring the blood into the Kodesh HaKadosh, because it's 16 of the sprinkling has to take place there. How much more so that it should require the blood to be poured, the shirayim, to be poured on the Yisod? So Rabbi Akiva, again, is taking Rabbi Shmuel's Kavachomer and extending it a little bit, even if you don't accept the distinction that the power of the Kohen Mashiach, is not required, is not an absolute requirement, whereas the ones of Yom Kippur are, you have another point also, the power of Kohen Mashiach, the blood isn't brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the ones of Yom Kippur it is. Okay. Yochol Yaakovenu continues the bride. So Yochol Yaakovenu, you would think that pouring the Shirayim out of Ma'akiv, that without it the Korban is possible, because again it was repeated twice, and as usual when something's repeated twice, then it means it's Ma'akiv. The pouring the Shirayim.
The pouring or the pouring outside?
Pouring by definition is outside. You said before.
But let's say you pour it inside. There's no such thing.
It doesn't count. It has to be, you're saying there's a hollow. You're going to pour Shirayim, it has to be in. Okay. If it was poured inside, it would be the equivalent of a spilling. It wouldn't be that again. Okay. So Yoho Yaakovenu, Talmud Loma, the Chila Mikaper of HaKodesh, therefore you have a process by the Korbanos of Yom Kippur that says, after he finished all the sprinkling of the blood and everything, then the process says, the Chila Mikaper of HaKodesh, he completed making Kapara for the Kodesh, meaning Shomu Cholakaparis Kulam. Once he did everything that it describes over there, now over there it didn't mention pouring out the Shirayim, because we were only learning it from Hapar or from the Kavachomer, as the case may be. So Shomu Cholakaparis Kulam, once he did all the sprinklings, then the Kapara is completed. That's the point. That's why we're saying this bright supports what Rav Papa said. Because Rav Abba had understood it to mean that Rabbi Shmuel would say that the Shirayim are masters. Rav Papa said that no, they're arguing about a Hapar Oifus. This braisa proves Rav Papa's point. Because you see that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that once all the hazois are done, then that's it, the kapara has been accomplished, and we don't have to worry about the shirayim.
Proving
Rav Papa's point, that even Rabbi Shmuel agrees the shirayim aren't back.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And continues Rabbi Shmuel, kavachomel, kavachomel Mashiach. Mr. Nasi may ask us, so now we can make a kavachomer that the same thing applies to the kavachomel Mashiach. Because we can say like this, again we can use Rabbi Akiva's Svara, which is that the power code, no, this is Rabbi Shmuel still talking, but he agrees with Rabbi Akiva that the power code Mashiach has a distinction from the power of the Kohen, from the power of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, in that there's no obligation and there's no mitzvah, even a voluntary thing, to bring it into the Kodesh Kodashim. Torah Yisod, nevertheless, it requires Yisod. So if the one of Yom Kippur, where the blood is brought lefnim, and there's a choiva and there's a mitzvah to do it, how much more so it requires Yisod?
If there's no obligation, it is on the Yisod.
If there is an obligation, right? Yochol Yaakovenu again continues Rabbi Shmuel. So before we had Rabbi Akiva saying that using this kavachomer, now we have Rabbi Shmuel using it and saying Yochol Yaakovenu. Again, you would think once it's repeated twice, then the pouring out of the shirayim should be massive. Talmud Lomer, the eschol dama for yishkos. No, therefore, so like this, the pasuk before that, all the other avodas that it mentions about the power of Kohen Gadol, it all says in an active, it all says using an active verb with the Kohen Gadol as the subject of it. The lockup he should take, the hizo he should sprinkle, the nosan he should put on the kindness of his bear. Here it doesn't say the shofach el yisod. Here it doesn't say he should pour it onto the yisod. Instead it says that's called dama yishkoich, that's called dama por yishkoich, and all the blood of the power he should pour, which means it's said in a different way. That means nikayakoto v'esev asara shirayim mitzvah. That means the pasuk is removing it from the general category of everything that we had before that. And saying it's only an esser, or actually, okay, Shita Mukhabetta takes out the word la esser, and Rashi seems to not have it also. There's not really an esser.
It takes away.
No, Nitzkei Akasav, just the positive, not Nitzkei Akasav la esser, but just Nitzkei Akasav. The positive is removing it from the general category that we had until now. So the positive made the pouring out of the Shirayim just Shirayim, so just something that's non-essential to those, to the Korban, just something that should have been done as a mitzvah. Loi Malach, Shirayim and Makdan, that teaches you the Shirayim are Makdan. The both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva arrive at that same conclusion in different ways. Rabbi Akiva arrives at it by using the word b'chila mikaper as a kodesh, and Rabbi Shmuel arrives at it by the kol dama poryish. But either way, the point is both of them agree that the shirayim are not active, which again is what Rav Papa said.
Rabbi Akiva says b'chila.
B'chila mikaper as a kodesh, which implies shomu kol kaparis kulon. All the kaparis are finished. Once he's done all the hazards, and that's it, all the kaparas are finished, therefore the shirayim are not active, because then there's a shirayim over there. Rabbi Shmuel is learning it from the Eskol Dama Pordishmuch. So either way, the point is, they both agree, shvichas shirayim is not active, which was Rav Papa's point. So therefore, this bride supports what Rav Papa is saying.
And who said it is not active?
That's what we said before. Rav Abba Abba tried to explain before when we said the earlier brisa from the Malas, when we had Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva using different expressions, that it's mechaper or that it's mechaper and bolachaper. So Rav Abba Abba wanted to say that it means that they're arguing whether shvichas shirayim is ma'akiv or not. And now we see from this brisa that not. So now the question is though, okay, but Rav Papa also explained that what is the machloket of Rav Shmuel and Rav Akiva? He said the machloket has to do as far as the mitzri chafas ha'oif. Again, the squeezing out of the blood of the chafas ha'oif onto the mizbeach. So the question is, Rav Shmuel, mitzri chafas ha'oif machkev. Are you telling me then that Rav Shmuel holds that the squeezing out, the second squeezing out of the blood of the chafas ha'oif is machkev? Is machkev, because according to Rav Papa, that was the point of the argument between him and Rav Akiva. Valtana dvei Rabbi Shmuel, but that we learn a brayser from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. The pasuk says anishar badam yimase. The pasuk says the leftover of the blood he should squeeze out, meaning anishar yimase, meaning that the what's left over should be squeezed out. V'she'en anishar lo yimase. But if there's nothing left out, if you got out all the blood with the first hazah, then you don't need to do mitzvah. So therefore, when jam is not active. Then says, okay, Trey Tanoi, Valer is Rabbi Shmuel. You're right, you have two Tanoi who disagree within what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. The one understanding of Rabbi Shmuel by some of his Talmidim is that it is ma'akiv, and that's what Rav Papa is basing himself on. And the other one would say that it's not ma'akiv, and that's what his last Brisa is.
You don't know who the Rosh Mesh
is. The Brisa is by Tanoi Dvei Rabbi Shmuel.
Tanoi
Dvei Rabbi
Shmuel. They think it's not
ma'akiv. They think it's not ma'akiv, whereas the previous braisa that we had, where we had Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva, about whether it's bolachat, whether shirayim are bolachat or not, that takes the view that the shirayim are ma'akiv. That if you got out all the blood the first time, then it's no good. You need to have shirayim. Amar Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama says, fine. Okay, so we've said before that we have Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Papa, at least, neither Rabbi Shmuel nor Rabbi Akiva holds that the shirayim are ma'akiv. But Rami Bachama says, I can find you somebody else who says they are. Omer Rami Bachama, Hai Tana Sova Shirayim Ma'akim. The Tana of the following braisa that we're going to learn holds that the Shirayim are Ma'akim. Namely, the Tanya.
Why do we have to bring this?
Because we want to know. We want to be complete. Yeah, we want to know that this that we're saying, that the Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva both agree, is not unanimous. There is another opinion. Okay. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa like this. The Pasuk says, Regarding a chata, a koyan hamachate oisa. The pasuk says the koyan who performs the avoda of the chata of it is the one who eats it. And really, it doesn't only mean the koyan himself who does the avoda. All the koyanim share in all the chatois and all the other karbanos that are eaten. What it means is, we'll learn later on in the sefer, it means only a koyan who was suitable at the time to be doing the avoda is someone who gets a portion of the karbanos. Meaning if he was Tomei, if he was an Oinen, if he was whatever, then he's not impacted, right? But when it says Oisa, the word Oisa is a miyut, so therefore it means, so what is it, right? Oisa should nit the Dhamala Maila, Vala Oisa should nit the Dhamala Masa. It means, when do we say that the proper chitui, the proper avodah has been done, and the kohenim are now able to eat it, only if the blood of the chatas was put on the top half of the mezeach. Because as we learned before, the blood of a chatas behema has to be put on the top half of the mezeach. The loy oisa shemit in damal amasa, not if the blood was placed on the lower half of the mezeach. Kohen amachate oisa. Amachate oisa means the one who performs the avodah of the chatas. Literally, amachate means who gets rid of the chet, who cleanses, performs the service of the chet. Yeah. From that they got, by the way, in modern Hebrew, the word chitur, which means sterilization, like getting rid of germs and whatever. But similar idea, because it's like an idea of cleansing. But it's an idea of cleansing. Sort of. Okay. Anyway. All right. Amarja. So now continues the braita. Now you're gonna argue like this. The chimeayin bosa. What makes you think? What you have on it to think that it should be kosher if the blood was placed on the wrong half of the mezeach, such that you need the pasuk hakohen amachate oisa to tell us otherwise. And by the way, also, you know, we learned earlier in the mesecta. We had the Tosus points out. We had a machlokes of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan about the question if the blood was put on the wrong part of the mezeach is the korban kosher. One way of looking at it, instead of according to Shmuel, is the korban is kosher, it just can't be eaten. The other one, according to Rabbi Yochanan, was completely possible. So, we had it back on the Chabal, Chazayim. So according to Tosfos, says that machlokes is not really relevant to what we're dealing with over here, but still, there is still, when our braisa is saying, the fact is, if the blood was placed in the wrong place, it can't be eaten, that fits according to Shmuel. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to understand, I mean, the carbon's possible anyway, we're not talking about it as far as eaten. Alright. Anyway, so, the halach actually said there was like Rabbi Yochanan. The carbon is completely possible. Okay. So you say, what makes you think in the first place that it should be kosher if the blood was put on the wrong bar on the back, such that you need the pasuk hakohen amachate oisa to tell us otherwise? The reason is like this. Mikvah shenem of a damas machate yishapach on mizbach ha-bemer. Now like this, you have a pasuk that says the blood of your korbanos should be poured on the mizbeach. So lamadnu l'nitonin matan arba. Now that teaches us, as we learned before in the fourth parak, that korbanos that are supposed to have the blood applied in four places, like a chatas, shem nafsin matan achas kippur. We said if you did only one matana, then b'diavad you're a machate. We said that a chatas. So
why did you use that?
We said because since it says the damas machate yishapach, it means even one shvicha is enough.
Instead of saying what?
Instead of what it said, Shabbos, nothing, or whatever. The point is, your Shabbos implies that you have one pouring one time, and it's enough. Yeah. So we learned previously that we had, and then the Pasuk continues, Rabbos or Tosfos. So therefore, given that, Yocho Achani Tonim Lamaila Shanotim Lamasa Keeper, he would think, maybe even, if it was supposed to be blood that went on the top half, and instead you put it on the bottom half, maybe indeed Keeper, maybe indeed you accomplished the Kapara. After all, it's still your Shabbos, it's still applied to the Mizeach, and the fact is, according to Shmuel, the fact is you are Machaper, you just can't eat it. According to your Rabbi Yishman, you weren't Machaper at all. So the Braisa continues, here's how you figure out. Nemru jamim lamaylov and nemru jamim lamasa. Now you have this blood that the Torah says has to go on the top half of the mezeach, namely the chatas behema, and you have ones where the pasuk explicitly says that the blood goes on the bottom half of the mezeach, namely by the chatas ha'oif, where the pasuk says that we're going to learn in the next parak that we have an implication from the pasuk over there that the blood of it has to be sprinkled on the bottom half of the mezeach. For no, right? Ma domina amurin lamatam shenotin lamayla lekeeper. Now, just like when it comes to the ones that are supposed to be applied to the bottom half, named the chatas ha'oy, if you did it on the top half, you have not accomplished kapara. The korban is possible, and the reason for that is, Rashi says, because by the bird, it uses the expression chatas hi. And the hi means it must be done exactly as it is.
Like osa.
Sort of. But well, a little bit different. But yeah, but he over here means it has to be exactly the way it says,
which is the right.
Tosfos asks actually that by an animal chatas it also says the expression he. So why do we need to learn it? Why do we need to learn it from a chatas anyway? So there's an explanation, you know, that some of the Mephoroshim say, I don't remember who, that the idea is because by the Chatas HaOlos is saying in connection with the sprinkling of the blood. In the case of the Sor Nasi, whichever other Sor it is, it uses it later on, at a later stage of the Korban. Okay, whatever it is, anyway. So the ones that are supposed to be on the bottom half, if you put them on the top half, Loikifer, you have not accomplished the kapara, because then you're violating what it says, chatas ki.
Same as the chatas the other way around.
Right. So therefore, by the same logic, Dhamana, Amur Lamaila, and Nasan Lamasa, Loikifer, the same thing. The ones that are supposed to be on the top half, namely the chatas behema, if you put them on the bottom half, then you weren't chatas. So therefore, you shouldn't eat a pot, you shouldn't eat a curry.
Fine, but we could.
But so if we derive that way, the point is the Braita says, then you shouldn't need a pasuk. You shouldn't need a koyin amachata or to teach us that, because you can learn it from that. However, not really kavachomer, more like binyan out, sort of. But yeah. Then the Gemara says the Braita continues. Oh, loy, no, not necessarily is that a valid inference. Ima ma'ut b'tachtonim shenitonin minasin alamayla. You could say, fine, ones that are supposed to go on the bottom half and you put them on the top half, the fact is, she ain't soaked in the myelin. The fact is, that blood is not going to go up against gravity and end up on the top half. It's never going to end up where it was supposed to. Fine, therefore you could argue that the carbon is possible, like here. How could you say, a carbon where the blood was supposed to go on the top half, if you mistakenly put it on the bottom half, ultimately it was going to go on to the bottom half anyway. She, yes ma'am, carbon master. it was eventually going to go on the bottom half anyway, and besides which, also, not only was it going to go on the bottom half because of gravity, more to the point is also you were going to have the shirai that were going to go on the bottom half.
But the
point is, in other words, El Yonim, Shanas and Lamasa, the fact is, you, first of all, you have, they are going to eventually trickle down. But second of all, you also have, there's the shirayim that go on the bottom half anyway, to begin with. So therefore, you could argue that maybe moving from the top half to the bottom half is not necessarily such a bad thing.
As opposed to the bottom to the top.
Yeah. Where if you put it on the bottom, it's never going to go to the top, and you never have. There wasn't supposed to be any part of that blood that went on the top. So therefore, you could argue that that's a real shame. So the Braita continues, Domim Shirayim Afnimim Yichichu. Fine, so I can answer you. Fine, I can prove the point, though, by looking at the Shirayim of the Karbonis that are brought inside the Hekel. Shiyesh Mehen Karabachos, where there we say, after all, you have the Shirayim of Hur on the outer Mizeach, Vim Nassim Bachilabachos like Kippur. But the fact is, if you were to take the blood of the Karbonis of Yom Kippur or whatever, and the Hachila apply it to the outer Mizeach, no good. So just because something is later on going to be done there doesn't show that Hachila you can do it up there. So by the same logic, just because you have a carbon, where eventually the blood is going to go on the bottom half, doesn't show that if it was supposed to be on the top half and you put it on the bottom half, it should be kosher. No more than that.
And so the Yom Kippur, if you started it, the reasoning is what?
The argument is as follows, and we're going to have to stop over here because it's my time, but so we'll continue tomorrow. But the argument so far is as follows. When it comes to the carbonus of Yom Kippur,
right,
we're saying, eventually the blood, the shirayim, is going to be taken and poured out on the outside mizbeach. So some of that blood is going to end up going on the shirayim, going to go on the outside mizbeach. Yet, if you were to take, to begin with, the power of the sort of Yom Kippur and start applying the blood to the sort of mizbeach HaKissin, no good, you're not yoked. So therefore, don't think
the carbon is possible.
Exactly. So what the Braita is saying is, well, by the same logic, just because you have later on the shirayim are going to go on the bottom half, fine, but the fact is the original zrika is supposed to be done on the top half. Why do you think it should be kosher if it goes on the bottom? That's what we'll continue tomorrow with the argument back and forth, and then we'll see, eventually we'll see, once we finish the Braita, we'll see how Rami Bahama says, you see that the author of this Braita evidently holds that shirayim are ma'akim, which was the point that Rami Bahama was trying to bring out. So we'll continue with that tomorrow.